Great. So this is an experiment. I've invited publishers primarily to share the prompts that they are using at work. And I include myself because I've been using prompts and I'm trying to capture them and build an AI prompt library just for niche media companies. So this is an opportunity for you to talk to each other because we have a small group, which is one of the great advantages. And also I've invited Evan Young, who is the co-founder of a very interesting company called Haynota, and he knows more than me. So we're going to start out by co-hosting, and then I'm going to leave some time where he can show you the tool that he's developed and talk about it. I just want you to see a couple things. One is the website where you can access the prompt library. Okay, so this is the website, and I'm reorganizing the navigation, but this is the Media Project Library, and the AI prompt library is right here. So everything I test is going boom, but that is that's where the prompts from this session will go. I did want to ask one thing from Evan, first out of the box, because I am trying to divide things into buckets. So I'm thinking for a publisher, there's kind of six basic buckets that we would use AI to automate tasks. So one is editorial, one is communications, one is sales, SEO, tools, and workflow. I'm going to start with Evan. Are these the buckets, or did I leave something out here?
No, I think this is a good start. Yeah, I think maybe something around reporting or insights from, let's say, your website traffic, your social traffic. Just how do you kind of understand the success and performance of the different mechanisms that you use to output data? So yeah, that would be one other one I would probably add here. But yeah, this is a good framework to start with.
So, and the other thing I wanted to share with you is this slide. So I get this text. It's built on a platform called Subtext, and it's from the editor of the Triangle Business Journal every morning. Well, I don't live in the Triangle, but I love his text. I always find something super useful. And yesterday, he had a meeting with a bunch of high-power CEOs talking about the economy. And one of the things that they said was, get someone in the company to learn LLM. It will pay dividends later. One of the things that I've noticed, I mean, everybody here is super motivated. That's why you're here. But I do think, and I've heard this many times, that media are not spending enough on R&D and getting those competencies within the company. So if you want to use Haynota, for example, who's going to give you, this is a great idea, within your company? So somebody is in there, should be in there to be the to learn large language models. So from here on, this is what we're doing. So I'm just going to ask you to introduce yourself, say what you're working on. If you have a prompt, great. If you don't worry about it. So Betsy, you're with Boom Athens, is that correct?
Yes. And I'm just listening this morning. I don't have anything going with AI.
No pressure. Okay. Do you want to tell us where you are with your journey?
Similar to Betsy, I'm just kind of using AI for a little bit of email scripts. And I'm just writing the basic version of it. So I don't have any apps or anything, but I'm enjoying the basic ChatGPT. So thought I would jump on just to learn from another publisher's perspective on the good tools that you could be using.
And what is your company, Chad?
It's called Craig Kelman and Associates, and we're based in Winnipeg, Canada. So we're an association publisher. So we partner with associations to publish their magazines, and we have about 100 different titles.
Greg Martin. You want to jump in and tell us who you are and where you are in your journey?
I am an associate publisher of ASHRAE Journal, and I am not very competent at AI, but I have been using it for competitive analysis to see where AI would rank us versus our competitors. And ASHRAE is a standards writing organization, so we're very interested in AI's use of our content to answer engineering questions.
Okay, that makes sense. You know, it's funny, I do see people using it for things that I would never guess. A lot of generative stuff where I don't trust generative, so I leave it for ideas and headlines and things like that. So, Jeff, do you want to introduce yourself and tell us how you are or are not using?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. Jeff Gadick from Premier Travel Media. We're a niche travel publisher. We have a series of fully owned titles and do some custom publishing for different travel associations. I'm probably not the best person to answer prompts because that falls onto various levels as far as exact prompts that we're using. But what we've used it for successfully is, like, for example, we have a series of media kits for different products of ours, is just looking at the existing structure of the media kits, how we're wording certain things, and running that through AI prompts to maybe clarify the language a little bit. And I think we've been pretty happy with that. And then we've taken that next step down to proposals. And that's something that I think my salespeople always struggle with, is that they're like really excited when somebody wants to buy something. And then it's like, oh gosh, we got to put a proposal together. So really streamlining that to give them a series of templates that articulate the product well based on data that we're giving it. So it's not just making stuff up. You know, we're giving it circulation, we're giving it sort of competitive advantages. It's scouring through the website. We're on the front end of building a directory of field trip locations across North America. And my head tech guy has been using AI in order to do that. What I can say with that is it needs human intervention because it lies. It's the 80% solution maybe right now, but we have to put eyes on it. We can't just say, okay, here it is. It's good. So I hope that helps folks.
Yeah. So I am in the process. So I have one client that's a software company, and I am trying to kind of like dumb down or make their language more conversational on the website and, you know, all their marketing materials. The tone has kind of shifted. And I am definitely using AI to do that. And so the prompts there would be, I want a conversational tone. I don't want a sentence more than 10 words, you know. Define your audience, you know, those sorts of things. And I'm just going to go page by page. But I agree, it's going to be human intervention, because left to its own devices, it's not going to work. But yeah. I believe it can write better than me with me there.
Yes, I would say the big thing as far as media kits, you know, we've seen this major transformation for media buyers, and it's, you know, younger media buyers, typically female, that won't pick the phone up. So we'll literally put that into prompts of like, okay, so how would you say this to somebody who's, you know, 28 years old, marketing professional, advertising agency, but their time is limited and, you know, they need, you know, factual information. So that's, I think, pretty good results.
That means that if you send me a few prompts, you get a free membership, because I know you got those prompts there that people want. You know, how to make your media kit more approachable, right? Or I just do want to share, for how many have you guys tried to produce a newsletter from your own content? And this is sort of segue to Evan, but have you tried that?
No.
Okay. So the first thing I tried it with, I did ChatGPT, Claude, and Perplexity. And the first time the first thing that they say, all except Perplexity, is it, we don't read links. Okay. We're not link readers. So the way to do it, and it's on actually the homepage of publisher.biz. I showed exactly how I did it, but I'm going to tell you, and I will type in the chat thread too. Just add feed to your URL. So if it's nichepublisher.biz, it would be nichepublisher.biz/feed/click. So what it's going to produce is your content in text editor. Now, I don't write in HTML. I don't code. I don't know what any of this stuff means. But because the stuff that I publish is in chronological order, I can definitely look through and grab the code that I want and feed it directly into the engine. So I fed it into, I wrote a little prompt, which is on the website. I can probably cut and paste it here. After I wrote the prompt, I had to put the HTML in. They're like, I don't read feeds. You know how fast it is. I don't read feeds. I don't read feeds. I don't read links. I don't read links. I'm like, I know you don't. I know you don't. Patience. Patience, grasshopper. I'm going to try to find this. The exact prompt that I used. So the first thing I did is I grabbed three stories and on the RSS feed, I just cut and pasted it. And then I used this prompt. There's the prompt. I just put the prompt in the chat box. So then I put the prompt first. Then I cut and paste the RSS feed. It's sort of ugly. If you don't know what it looks like, it's not pretty slight. It's just like, it looks like HTML, but you can read it as a human being. It's not that difficult. And then the second prompt was to write a short publisher's note. So I wanted the publisher's note to come after I had the newsletter so that it could reference the newsletter. All right. So, and then I fed this prompt into three different AI services. So the publisher's note prompt, very simple. So here's what happened. I greeted each, first of all, Perplexity couldn't do it. It flunked. Maybe I was doing something wrong. I don't know, but I will not use Perplexity again for this type of task. It's very good. It does real time. Everybody else is 3 months behind. But since I'm using my own RSS feed and my own content, I just want my content. I don't want that much to it. So ChatGPT was sort of flawless, but I will say Claude was better. Claude gave me fresher, more compelling language that I used and felt improved my writing. And, you know, I've been writing and selling advertising for a couple or more decades, and it was better than me. So I was pretty impressed with Claude. So those are the two prompts. And then I put the HTML in there. And, you know, don't worry if it says I don't read links, because you're just going to put the HTML in there. Don't bother with Perplexity. My feeling is Claude won hands down. Has any of you tried this exercise? Take that as a no?
No.
Okay. So the other thing that I did, and I put this on the website. So I'm using MailChimp. It's not the most sophisticated ESP. I understand that. And it's very expensive. And I understand that. But one of the things it started doing, and so in terms of encouraging you to experiment with tools that you're already using, is when I send out an email, it will say, how would you like me to rewrite this email and send it to the people that didn't open using AI? So I'm like, okay, they didn't open. You're going to change the subject line. So I did an experiment with this last week. And this is what's really interesting. Not only did my open rate increase by 50%, but without changing anything inside the email, my click-through rate increased by 150%. Now, it was not a straight A-B test. I get it. I sent one out Friday at 12:25 in the afternoon. I sent one out Sunday these are both East Coast times, at, 12:45 afternoon. Both are not great days for a B2B email. However, when I see these tools and I'm like, wow, they've already identified my non-openers. They've got a couple of word choices that I didn't think of, and I can get 150 lift and click through. I say, I'm going to do that. So, I know every ESP is different. And so that's how I've sort of manually been going at this. So, Evan, I've given a couple of use cases of what I'm doing. And by the way, Hey Noda, Evan's company, only works with media companies. So they don't do AI for everybody in the world. So he's very dialed in to us. And, he's been on an editor and publisher webinar and all that sort of thing. So, Evan, when we look at these buckets and what can we be doing, and you've got six publishers on the call right now, gave them something manually. Where do you think a publisher should start? I mean, I love the media kit and the proposal idea. I mean, that's number on my list right now to add to the prompt library. What are you thinking that they should be thinking about?
Yeah, I mean, just to start is you just need to start. So one of the things that we hear a lot is publishers are just fearful of AI. But as you know, Alicia's outlined, it can be extremely helpful and assistive. So I think the main goal that you should have is to just identify a use case or a pain point at your respective publication that you spend an inordinate amount of time on, you don't think is very value added for you as a publisher, and then identify a tool that you can leverage to help with automating that process. And again, I'm not suggesting that, AI or machine learning is here to take anyone's job. It's just here to hopefully help you make you more efficient and help the team that you're working with do more with less. And so, if you're a publisher, you're likely wanting to, talk to sources or write your articles or ensure that, your copy is accurate and complete. You may not want to focus on how do I best SEO optimize this particular story or what's the best social caption I can use to amplify this across my platforms, or how do I write a newsletter and make it compelling and easy to understand. So really I think the starting point for many publishers should just be to one, know that AI is not all bad and it can be extremely useful. Start with a test. Find the thing that bothers you the most, and then find a solution that you can apply to that. And then decide if you'd like to continue to discover more about where else you can find efficiencies.
But I do want to ask, because I think the question of personnel is really critical. And that is using AI to enhance sales proposals and media kits. Who is leading the charge within your company? Is it your IT person? Is it somebody, a young person in the sales department? Are you up late at night at home like I am doing this weird stuff? Who is doing that for you? The reason I ask this is that Parents Canada, the publisher, came to me and she's like, my IT guy wants to do generative AI to replace the editors, and the editors are having to fit. I'm like, no, 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 no. But you have to get somebody in your company engaged. And so you've done this successfully. Who did you get engaged to write the prompts and test these different tools? Who's doing that? Are you doing this?
Yeah. So I actually tricked up. When AI first came out, I saw this sort of coming down the line and I started playing with it myself. And I created an article about a travel destination and I sent a note to my editors and said, hey, here's an article written by created a fictitious name. Give me your review on this. And everyone kind of came back and they had some feedback here and there. I mean, this is well before ChatGPT. This was Jasper. I brought them into the room after we had this back and forth. I said, so I have got some interesting news for you. This article was not written by a person. It was written by AI. And all of them just were flabbergasted. And I said, this is the future of our business. And we can either embrace this or we're going to get run over by it. So at that point, we buy in from them like, okay, this could be beneficial in, you know, fact checking and getting us started. Article briefs, we use a lot for it. So I wouldn't say there's one person in our company, but our SEO people use it all the time to research article topics. Our editors use it for article briefs, again, with some human intervention. I don't see every piece of content that's published by our organization, but I doubt very seriously that anything gets published that's completely AI.
So you did not assign a lead within your
company. No. Just because it touches different elements of the business.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's your comment earlier. It sort of made me think like maybe we should have somebody who knows more than other people do about this. I think we've embraced it organizationally just because there's so many efficiencies with it.
So I'm going to ask Evan to share his screen and walk through his tool. I haven't seen it in a while. I know it's evolved. I liked it because you can create a newsletter in a different way than I did it. I did it manually with an RSS feed. His is faster and can curate. And also, he's got SEO tools, which is something I'm working on at my company right now. I do not want to write another meta tag and get all my keywords. I do not want to do that anymore. And I have seen people on WordPress sites that have switched to other providers. They've gotten literally a 50% increase in traffic when they use machine learning instead of human embedded tagging. So without further ado, I give you Evan Young.
Thank you for the opportunity to chat with the team today. And thanks all for joining. So Noda was founded about 2 years ago by a handful of gentlemen, myself and my other two co-founders that came out of the Los Angeles Times. There was a lot of frustration around the tools that they saw in the market. And we really just wanted to build new tools and innovate for a space that's traditionally been overlooked or taken advantage of by big tech. We created Noda, and we're working with a handful of really amazing publishers from large publicly traded companies all the way down to extremely local, hyper-local news publishers and everything in between, from TV to lifestyle publishers to radio, et cetera. We're trying to do everything to help with optimizing your day and your time. Now we're just driving efficiencies in as many ways as we possibly can think about for those tasks that Elisa just mentioned that she hates doing, doesn't want to do ever again. We want to just help you do that with ease. We also have an editorial board that reviews and looks at all of the different outputs that we are creating. If you know anything about large language models, we are not just building pretty user experience tools on top of the household names. We actually have created and trained our own model, only using publisher data that we've been given rights and access to. So we're only training on those things that we have permission to train on. And we only use high quality content and journalism to inform our models so that the outputs are superior. And we're just seeing some really amazing results with our publishing partners, from time savings to production volume to more engagement and performance with their outputs.
To break this down, what exactly are you doing? Like, I know you put a browser extension on the top of your browser and it will curate a newsletter from a link. Can you show us that?
Sure. Yeah. So we've got a handful of tools that I can show you. So we can start with that one. So
let's say that you do want to create a newsletter, and you're on one of your articles, that you have on your website. I'll just use the LA Times as an example. The browser extension lives right here, within the browser. You want to create a newsletter. You're going to save that article, select the hero image you want for that particular article, hit save. And then we'll just do a 3-article newsletter really quick, about food. Hope everybody ate lunch today. So we'll hit save article there. And then we'll bring in this last one and hit save article there. Now you'll see that you've got 3 articles saved. You can actually change the order of these articles. If you wanted to change the image that you use, you can always jump back in and change the image. But let's say you feel like they're in a good place. You simply just hit create letter, and we're going to pull those articles into our Noda tool suite. And we're going to do a couple of things. As you can see, we've already grabbed that image that you selected. We're going to create an engaging, title for each one of these sections of the newsletter. And then we're also going to create that summary text that's going to tell you what's in that article. You have the ability to change the summary length if you'd like. So maybe you don't want a long paragraph. Maybe you want 1 sentence. Maybe you want 2 sentences. You have that option. Everything that you see in our tool is completely editable. We want to make sure that you feel like you have final control over the output. So we're really just trying to get you 90% of the way there. You can kind of take it the last 10%. You've got rich text editing capabilities here if you like. But these are the 3 articles that we pulled in. We can also generate that intro paragraph. So similar to what Elisa did with the prompt earlier, what we can do is understand the articles that you've included in this particular output. We can give you a good headline for that newsletter. We can give you that good intro paragraph. You jump over into preview mode. And now you see that you've got your preview of the newsletter output here. And this is what this would look like in somebody's inbox if you were to send it across. We've also got an AI policy that you can add to the bottom as well if you want to inform your reader base or subscribers that you are using AI to produce these outputs. This is completely optional, but if you do have an internal AI policy that you wanted to share with them, that would be a solution that could add here.
How do you get this from here to your ESP? Because everybody is using different ESPs.
Yeah. So you would hit the export button, and there's a couple of options. You can copy the rich text and paste it into your email template. What we see most of our publishers doing is copying HTML to clipboard. So you would just go into your existing email service provider template, add a block of HTML code as one of like the segments you can pull into your template. And then you would just paste the text that we generate for you here in our tool, and everything would flow through into your email template. So in a matter of minutes, you've created a net new newsletter. What we're seeing a lot of our publishing partners doing is to create net new products that they didn't create before because they just didn't have the time or bandwidth from their team's perspective. So maybe you wanted to create a sports newsletter, but didn't have somebody who could focus on sports or a food or travel or opinion. Now you have the opportunity to just look at the articles that you want to include in those newsletters and quickly create an output that someone can copy, edit, and push to their ESP. Any questions on any of these?
Looks great.
Does, isn't it? So I write content, and I spend a lot of time talking to people and getting use cases. So it's very expensive content. I can spend a week on one piece of content that I think will help 300 publishers. But I've just started a curated newsletter. If I could program it correctly, I think it could save me a lot of time.
Yeah, Evan, I was going to ask, so you're on the publisher's site here, correct? Does this tool work? Like, so let's say we do some association publishing and they have members who are either doing press releases or news. Can you utilize this tool on sites outside of your domain?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, ultimately you would have to be mindful of any paywalls you might run into. But yeah, as long as you have access to the article, you can pull it into the project. And then you also have the capabilities here to, if you wanted to credit any, other publication, you can add that text right into your project as well. So this doesn't just have to be your own content that you pull into the newsletter product.
Gotcha. So you would either have an attribution there, or I'm exactly. Assuming it's rewriting this. So you're not plagiarizing what somebody's already.
Created. No, great,
Great question. So everything that we create requires human author content to start. So we're just looking at the article that you provided us in this link. And our tool is very extractive in the sense that with AI tools, you have this thing called temperature you can turn up or down in terms of how much you give it leeway to kind of embellish or get creative. Our temperature is turned all the way down. We're not trying to get into a situation where anything that we produce feels like it was, you know, factually incorrect or made up. Obviously, we work with a lot of news publishers, so that would be bad for us. So everything that you see is just understanding the article content and giving you a best practice for the outputs that you're generating for that respective use case. And we have a bunch of different tools that do quite a few different things. We have a summary tool that can give you headline suggestions, SEO, you know, outputs for meta descriptions, tags, keywords, slugs. We have a brief tool, which sounds like somebody, I think, Jeff, it was you, who you say you do article briefs. We can simply create a very kind of a, it's a kind of an Axios model brief where we give you a headline, a short summary, and some bullet points you can create to, you know, provide a brief. We've got video tools that you can use to create videos from your assets. We also live in CMSs as well. So we've got CMS integrations with WordPress that live right here at the bottom of the article. So as you're typing your article, you can just use our tools to get headline suggestions and all of these different elements. Mm-hmm. And you can simply, if you like it, you can simply just hit select and it'll automatically update the article with that content. Same with your SEO, same with your social tags or social captions that you might want to create as well.
So what content management systems are you integrated with?
Yeah, good question. So we have a WordPress plugin that also works with Newspack, which is kind of a subsidiary of WordPress for our news publishers. We're with StevoQ, which is the CMS that McClatchy uses. We're also talking to Blocks right now and working to get our APIs integrated into their tools. And then we're, you know, trying to elevate our conversations with WordPress VIP to, you know, get into some more of the larger publications there with WordPress VIP. So we've talked to publishers that are on Ghost and IndieGraph and a handful of others that are a bit smaller that we're considering, but ultimately we can move a lot faster than a lot of these, you know, CMS companies can when it comes to integrations. And so ultimately it's just a matter of, do they have the technology bandwidth or the engineering bandwidth to take on a partner like us to, you know, build out what they need to build out so that we can surface our outputs for the customers that they serve.
Innovation. So let's talk SEO. Okay. That is my cross to bear. So I use WordPress. So you told me that machine learning was going to be better than me.
We could test that out. If you use WordPress and you have our plugin right here, you get page title suggestions, you get meta descriptions, you get slugs you can use. All of these, again, are based on best practices in terms of how many keywords you're using within the page title, within that slug.
Automate it, or do I have got it? Do I have to?
Well, ultimately, we created our tools to ensure that a human is always present in the output process. So we tried to minimize the amount of friction we create, but we do want to create a slight bit of friction just because we don't want people to feel like things are being published without any human eyes on it. So as you go through these different outputs and look at, you know, what you like, what you don't, again, everything here is completely editable. But if you do make those selections, the last step you can take is with our proof tool. And so on the right rail, our proof tool will basically grade your article pre-published to see if there's any opportunities that you can improve it before you actually push it to site. And so this right now is good, but it's not excellent. So we want to jump into the analysis and understand what's happening. So we'll give you some insights on if it's the optimal length for SEO, if it's easy to read based on the Fleshkin-Kay score, if there's any misspellings that you might have that should be potentially looked at. But what happened here is I haven't added a headline for this article yet. So if you hit highlight suggestion, it'll take you into the section of our tool where we give you headline suggestions. One other thing you also notice is we have this microphone with LA Times mood here. So as part of one of the tools that we provide is we allow you to create the tone of voice that you want the outputs to be generated in or your respective publication. And so this has the LA Times mood tone applied to it. And this is just the out of the box tone from Nota. And so you can kind of look at the differences and see which one you like best. Hopefully the ones that have your tone are the ones that you would appreciate more, and you can select that. And then once you refresh your analysis, you'll now see that the score should go up quite a bit because you actually added your headline. There's probably a few other things that I could do to improve this, but essentially this was just a way to kind of have that final step to understand whether or not you should be comfortable with pushing your article to site, and you've done everything you need in order to make sure that it gets the most engagement possible.
Well, Evan, thank you. We're right at the end of our time. I really wanted to thank everyone for joining and sharing, and I hope to see you all.
Well, thank you so much for allowing me to be here, Lisa.
Thank you. I'm really glad you came. I know it was short notice. I think I threw this together in a couple of days, and I'm so happy everybody came, and hope to see you soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.